Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k. Welcome, everybody, to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, where each week we bring you education and information that will help you take your next step in building wealth through real estate. My name is Lauren Wells, and I am joined today by not one, but two guests. One you've already heard from. Actually, you probably heard from both of them if you've been listening to the podcast long enough. I'm joined by Jeff Watson and Tony Shackelford. Jeff is an Ohio attorney who has had an active trial and hearing practice for over 30 years. His resume is crazy long and crazy amazing. Most lawyers would love to have probably the same resume as him. As a real estate investor since the early 90s, investing both residential and commercial properties, Jeff has been through full market cycles. He is a really recognized thought leader and innovator in the field of real estate and note investing, wealth building, and self-directed retirement accounts. In 2018, Jeff actually became a member of the board of directors with Quest Trust Company, who is a nationally recognized leader in the self-directed IRA services space. And then Tony, I'll give you a little intro as well. You might have listened to Tony in the past. Tony is a member of the 70 Investments team, our marketing manager turned investor relations coordinator, and is here to add another perspective to this conversation today. So today we are going to be talking about self-directed IRAs, getting started with one, what they are, why they might be important, and how to plan for your long-term wealth and retirement. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome, Tony. Happy to have you both here today on this Friday.
I'm thrilled to be here. I've awesome. Been looking forward to this. Yeah.
Little background. We all met at Quest Expo back in what feels like a lifetime ago, was only a few months ago. And have been trying to get Jeff on the podcast ever since. And this is the first time we've been able to meet up. So yeah, happy to have you.
Yeah. So this is good.
Do you have anything you want to add to your bio?
Did I do okay? I'm going to just add this. It's a huge privilege and it's a huge honor to be on the board of directors of Quest Trust. I'm getting a front row seat of how this company in from 2018 till now has gone from $1.4 billion to $2.7 billion in assets. So it's literally double in the number of dollars that it now has for its clients and customers. And that's an impressive rise. We're not talking million there. I use the word that begins with a B as in billion. And so I've got some responsibility there for oversight and direction. And I get to hang out with some of the smartest, most talented people in the IRA space possible. And it just makes me better. It just makes me sharper and better. And it's a lot of fun to just nerd out with fellow like-minded folks. And that's what I want to do today is just let's nerd out a little bit. Let's not go ultra super nerd because if you let me, I will forget what forest I'm in and I'll forget what tree I'm looking at. And we'll start talking about the texture of the bark on the tree.
Sounds like our co-host who's not here today. His name's Chris. So we're very familiar with that. So we'll keep you on track.
Yeah.
I guess just to kick us off, we've done an episode with Derek of Quest and he talked about what a self-directed IRA is. So if you're listening and you want some education on that, I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. It was very informative. Derek is amazing. I guess from your perspective, Tony, we want to talk about like, why is a self-directed IRA important and all that? But when you first joined us a few months ago, and we started talking, you joined us in July, right out of college, first job. We're like, hey, here you go. Here's all this information. Help us build a marketing plan. What were some questions that you had when we started throwing out terms, self-directed IRA, this is important. This is what you can do with it. Like what came to mind for you?
Yeah, I think for me, looking back then was no one ever tells you like what a self-directed IRA even is. They only tell you about investing in your 401k and your Roth IRA. So for me, it was like a brand new door that I've never even heard of or opened or looked at. So I think Quest was my first conference ever out of college. And it was a great experience in terms of learning about all of that and meeting everybody. But it made me realize that no one really my age knows what that is or why it's important. So I think that it was so unknown that I just needed like information on it in education, which was why like it was helpful having you guys there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just jump in because I completely agree with where Tony's going with this. I'm going to cover this at a really high level because if you need more, go listen to what Derek Long has to say. A self-directed IRA will allow you to invest your IRA dollars, whether they're traditional or Roth, whichever one you have, will allow you to invest your IRA dollars into something other than stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. If you want to do alternative investing, such as you want to do real estate, or you want to own notes, or you want to lend money, or you want to buy into a private placement memorandum, or you want to invest in a syndication, or you want to do other creative things, you're going to need to move your IRA over to a custodian that lets you truly pick what it is that you want to invest in. Get away from the custodians that are going to just simply be shoving you annuities, which using an IRA to buy an annuity is a ripoff. It's like wearing two raincoats. You don't need two of them. And then stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. And hey, there's a place for all of that. I push money every month into a big index mutual fund, but I also push money every month into a self-directed retirement account. So I diversify. I do it both ways. The message that self-direction does, and this is what I think will really resonate with Tony and people of her generation, is it lets you invest in stuff that you like and understand. Trying to get a Generation Z individual to enjoy a conversation about mutual funds and dollar cost averaging and indexes versus Vogel versus non-Vogel index. If there's not a TikTok video on it, they don't care.
Oh my God.
So you got it. So this is important. But once you realize that you can take your retirement dollars and wisely invest them into stuff that you already really understand or you're quickly learning, then it makes a lot more sense. You got a lot more control, gives you a lot more security.
So you're talking about what it is, and that's obviously something very important for my generation to learn. But also, I don't think a lot of us know where to start. So I know I started working, Lauren helped me set up my 401k, all that stuff, but no one really tells you what to do after that. So I think where to start once you have that, and when, like how much do you need to start it, and all of those like bits and pieces that are important, but no one really tells you.
Sure. Let me talk about that because you're right. No one ever tells you. So when you're first getting started, brand new getting started, and you've got a job with a 401k opportunity, then yes, you want to push into the 401k, particularly if it's a Roth 401k, because of the employer match. That's important. But you also want to make sure that if you've got extra dollars at the end of the month, that you're pushing some of that into a Roth IRA. Now, at the beginning, before you know what to do with it, I have no problem with just sticking your Roth IRA in a garden variety index fund of any kind, a money market fund. I'm fine with that because you want to get into the consistent habit of saving money every month. Okay. If you're in your 20s and you can get accustomed to the habit of every month, money goes into your 401k, money goes into your Roth IRA. After a couple of years, it's just like normal, like breathing. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like eating avocado toast or a video on your phone. Okay. It's normal stuff. Okay.
Speaking our California language out here.
Speaking our language.
I'm trying to relate because let's face it, the world needs to run out of boring old white guys exclusively talking about this stuff. Okay. We need to get some variety in here. And so I'm trying to talk to that, trying to encourage up that variety. So going back to it, consistency is consistent, monthly consistency. And once you get, I'm going to say anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 in a Roth IRA. And by the way, annual contribution is somewhere right around $6,500 beginning in 2023. Okay, so we're looking at $500 a month is a really good program to be on. Once you get between $5,000 and $10,000 into a Roth IRA, then it's time to start saying, okay, what are some alternative investments that I can do with this that I understand that I like, that I'm comfortable with? I never want someone to do something that they're uncomfortable with their self-directed IRA. I never want someone to do something that they don't understand with their self-directed IRA. I want them to have asked a lot of questions. I want them to have a very high comfort level as to what they're doing, who they're investing with, how it's going to work, what's going to happen. Oh, by the way, if something goes wrong, what do we do? How do we plan for that? And so on. But then once you get that between 5 and 10, and you're consistently throwing money into it, then you can go find that perfect type of investment. And it may be that you're going to go specialize in doing what I teach a little course on 10 for 12 loans. You loan $10,000 out, you get back 12 payments of $1,000 a month. And that goes to a landlord that needs to replace an HVA system or something like that, where you're going to lend your money and wrap it around somebody else's money on a bigger deal, where your 10 is going to wrap somebody else's 90 that's going to be a $100,000 loan. And all of these things are taught inside of different trainings that Quest makes available for free. Once you know what you're going to do, then move the money from that boring money market fund over at your bank or wherever, credit union, move it over to Quest Trust, and then go do the deal. And then, oh, by the way, make one other little change. Make it change to where then the auto rip out of your account every month, instead of going to that bank with the money market, is now going over to Quest. So you continue to fuel that one at up to $500 a month. Those are my thoughts.
To summarize that for our audience.
Okay. So that's her polite way of saying, Jeff, you forgot what forest you were in, and you're starting to talk about the character of the tree bark.
No, it was good. I do it to Chris all the time. This is like the role. This is what I do. So to summarize that, and this is a good clarification, because open a Roth IRA, it does not have to be immediately with Quest. You would say, correct, open it with your local bank or credit union, put it in a mutual fund. When you get to that, so that's step one, make those consistent contributions is step two. Step three, when you get to, and I actually feel like in step two, you also added educate yourself on what interests you outside of mutual funds, what other alternative investment classes. So that education piece, which I feel is so important and is what is missing, is within step two of contribute and educate. And then step three would be move it to a self-directed custodian. We all love Quest over here. So move it to that self-directed custodian and start investing in that alternative asset that you've gained that education on. Once you hit that 10K mark, 5 to 10K mark in your
fund. And there's I believe Quest has in its archives a presentation that I did on how you literally, if you can consistently contribute $500 a month into your Quest Trust account, and you do these 10 for 12 deals, you can in about 7 years turn $10,000 into $100,000. And I'm going to just say this right now. Once you get to $100,000 in a self-directed Roth IRA, you have achieved what the geeks like me call critical mass, because now it's capable of earning more every year in interest and in profits than you can contribute to it. And once you get to that point, it gets fun to watch the power of compound take over. Now, Tony is bright for her age group, because she already understands the power and magic of compound interest. We've had this conversation and her eyes lit up, and it was a blast there at Quest Expo.
Give us, for our audience listening and who might be Tony's age, give us an example of how, because Tony hears this all the time. You look at her, I look at her, and we're like, you're so young. You have so much time. And I'm sure people roll their eyes and are like, oh yeah, I hear that all the time. But give an example of how that compounding, like that time, works in their favor.
Okay. So I'll give you the classic example. It's taught in many different forums. If you begin at age 20 and contribute $500 a month to a Roth IRA, and it earns an average of 8% or 9% a year, and you do that every month for age 20 through 30, and then you stop at 30 and don't put any more money in, and you just let it keep earning that 8 or 9% every year, you will have more money at age 65 than a person who starts at age 30 putting $500 a month in and does it all the way to age 65. You will have more money. because that 10 years at that youthful age with that power, you just start a snowball rolling that is just, it becomes, it's the eighth wonder of the world, to quote Albert Einstein. Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, I remember at Quest.
Sale, Tony, it's all on you now.
I know. I remember being at Quest and Jeff, that's where I met him. And like a couple hours in, there was an extra seat next to me at our booth. Do you mind if I sit here? And I was like, oh, sure. Okay. Like I've heard you were a big deal. So I was very honored that you wanted to sit with me. And then Jeff whips out his phone with this calculator and just started punching all these numbers. And he's like, you start doing this at 24, then at 34, pretty much what you just explained, but got to show it to me physically. And I was like, everyone needs to know this because it seems so simple, but you just don't. I would have never seen that little calculator or any of those calculations without having you. You're, and everyone there is so nice and just willing to help in this industry in general. And so just having those people like have your back. And that's why I wanted you on the podcast, because I was like, this is like simple enough for me to understand, but also keep learning from, because I also have Lauren to back me up on everything too.
So I'm going to just see if I can do this on the screen. Here's what she was talking about. This is my cell phone. I've got an app on it that is a financial calculator. Yes, I don't have a pocket protector. I don't have a pocket protector, but I have usually two financial calculators with me wherever I go. So
yeah, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's shift into my generation, millennials. Different problems. Say, okay, because something Tony has touched upon is, and we're bringing you on this podcast, is really there is a lack of education around planning for retirement in a way outside of your 401k 9-to-5 job. And the younger generation, Gen Z, they are much more aggressive in not going that corporate route and looking at different options. And it's awesome. I think millennials are pretty split depending on when you were born, 50-50 on if you want to be, if you've taken the time and you've looked outside of the norm. But then there's a lot of us who've just graduated college, got a 9-to-5, and that's what we will be doing for the rest of our lives, or what they will be doing, or people will be doing my age. So now we're hearing about all these other options, self-directed IRA, and we're in our 30s, same 30 to 40. We'll use that age range. We have kids, we have a mortgage. Now what, Jeff? Like for example, let's put it in my shoes. I have a self-directed IRA, I have a solo 401k, but say I did it. And my concern is, okay, I have two kids. What do I do? How do I help them? How do I educate them? How do I set them up for success? How do I set myself up for success? Feeling behind, what would your advice be?
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is take a deep breath.
I'm playing the avatar. Let's just be clear. Of my generation.
But for anybody in your generation that's listening to this, I want to just take a deep breath, okay? Because the fact that you're aware of the situation puts you ahead of most people. The fact that you're going to do something about it puts you in front of even more people. So let's get down to the fact of the back end of the baby boom generation, which is where I belong, and the front half of the millennials, we're in what I call the sandwich generation. We getting squeezed on both sides. Let me explain what I mean by that. We've come out of college. I went 8 years. Okay. I got 4 years, a year towards a master's degree and 3 years of law school. Okay. So I got 8 years. You come out of college, you get a decent job. You're paying for your school. You've got kids. You're taking care of your older parents. You're getting compressed on both sides or three sides. Okay. Your lifestyle's hitting you one way. Your kids are hitting you. Your parents are hitting you. You're getting boxed. You've got to do something where you see a light at the end of the tunnel. And that is, you've got to be able to say no to your present self about the $50 bottle of wine and grab the $15 bottle of wine and put the extra savings off to where it's going to go matter somewhere. Okay. And if you can do these things consciously, it'll help. But where I want to go is, folks, it's not how much money you accumulate. It's the cash flow that comes off of that money. And it's the knowledge that you have to determine what are the investments that are going to give you the better cash flow. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say this word again because I really want you to sink into this, okay? Cash flow. You could have $1 million in the bank earning 1.5% and you don't have enough cash flow to buy dog food, all right? Or you can have $1 million in a self-directed retirement account that owns a combination of notes and real estate and it's generating $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 in cash flow on a regular basis. Okay. And so for me, the first metric was escape velocity. By controlling my living expenses, by driving an older car with higher miles, by not having certain other things, I could keep my living expenses down, have more money to invest. And once I got to where now my monthly passive, quasi-passive cash flow exceeds what I need to live on, I have hit what I call escape velocity. I get to do the stuff I want to do.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, when you're living in that compressed lifestyle of, yes, I'm still taking care of some kids. Yes, my kids are all still adults. They're young adults. So I'm still helping them. I'm still helping my mom. I've still got some of my own things in my own life. So I'm still getting compressed on three sides. But because I've hit escape velocity, it doesn't pressure me so much. I've already found my outlet. And I'm going to go back to Tony's generation. Pay attention, folks, to some of the stuff that Gary Vaynerchuk is saying.
Oh.
Okay? Pay attention to what he's talking about with folks. And folks, if you're who he's talking about, that you're a Gen Z and you've said, screw it to the corporate world, you're going to go do your own online entrepreneurial thing, God bless you. I love you. And Quest Trust is going to have a solo 401k product for you that is going to be fantastic, lights out for you. Coming out in January, okay?
Oh.
It's going to be fantastic. All right? Folks, you in that Gen Z category, you're my Huckleberry. You're who I want to talk to because you figured it out. You ain't swapping hours for dollars for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So what do you think your biggest...
Hold me back, Lauren. I went off somewhere.
No, you're good. So I'd say, one, I love Gary Vee. Totally, I've definitely heard that sandwich generation analogy. I'm not part of that generation, but I've heard that and I see it with some of my friends who are a bit older that are taking care of their parents. They have young kids. And the ones, when I'm looking at it from an outside perspective, the ones who are doing what you're saying versus not do feel a lot less stressed about their life. So for people who, you know, are in the millennial generation who may not have the Gen Z mindset, what would your action items be for them? For setting, like, other than, because I agree with you, I think a lot of millennials, it's a lot of my peers I talk to. I love my friends, but some of them, I'm going to call you out right now, that lifestyle choices will catch up with you. And it kills me to see, like you said, grab the $15 bottle of wine. You don't need the new car, the new phone, the new everything all the time. And that's something that would be my action item for my generation is don't just live within your means, live below your means. Put money away so that you can live that life later that you want, while everyone else is probably still working their 9 to 5.
Yep.
Maybe that was your action item and I summarized it and stole it from you. But what would another action item be?
I'm going to just take your action item and I'm going to flesh it out a little bit more. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm just going to be flat out. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings with this and I don't care. The easiest person for you to lie to about money is yourself. And I don't care if you're a baby boomer, a millennial, a Gen Z, you're lying to yourself about your money. You need to become accountable to yourself about money, which means that you need to borrow a well-known guy's name, a phrase. You need to make sure every dollar has a job assignment every month. Okay. So you should have an idea how much money you're going to make every month. And every dollar needs a job assignment. Now, some of those job assignments are going to be like, Lauren needs a fun day. Tony needs to have a good evening. Jeff needs to enjoy Chick-fil-A, something like that. Okay. So some of those dollars are going to be that way, but some of those dollars are going to be like going to work for building your generational legacy and wealth. All right. And that's a big thing because folks, I got news for you. You're going to look at this thing and it's going to be YOLO or yo-yo. YOLO is you only live once. Yo-yo is you're on your own. Ain't nobody from the government going to come and give you a comfortable retirement. You're on your own for that. And so you better do something about it. And that means be honest with yourself about money. Be very brutally honest with yourself about money. Live on less than you make. Give every dollar a job assignment. And I'm going to tell you the other thing that I do that is, it was painful at first, but I finally got used to it. I get paid once a month out of the law firm that I run and operate. I get paid once a month. Right after that check hits my account, two things happen every month. All my charitable giving is automatically yanked right out of my account. I don't have to do anything. It just happens. All of it, everything gone to my church, to mission organization, rip, rip, it's gone. The next thing that happens without me doing anything to happen is money goes into my retirement savings. It's not dependent on me to do anything. It's not what mood am I in. It happens automatically. And I'm left to live on what's left over. And I got to make it work.
I think something you said there is also very important, because I think when people say, hey, live below your means and budget and actually know what you're bringing in. Like, my husband and I have a financial meeting every month. We look at our finances. We've always been weird like this. When we started dating, we had that even before we knew we were going to get married. We pretty much knew right away. But anyways, that's another topic. But we've always had this Excel spreadsheet. He's a total Excel nerd. And we know burn rate. We know all of this. If something were to happen, how would we adjust? So have those finance, but we also, and this is important because I think people are like, oh, you budget. And it's, but also, you know, it's what I love. You love your Chick-fil-A. I love my lattes. Not every day, but I literally, it is happiness in a cup for me. I'm not going to cut something like that when I would rather cut like in other areas. So it's not only about budgeting, but it's knowing what you can still live and have fun. I'm not going to cut the latte at the end of the day is not going to crush my bank account. It's all of the other things that accumulate that aren't really adding value that will make or break it. So I think that's what you said. You were saying the fun money. Yeah, you still have to take into account that you're going to have to.
But here's the thing that a lot of people seem to forget when we use that big bad B word called budget. They're making their own budget. You just got to live according to your own plan.
Yeah.
If you can't plan for yourself, then why do you have a driver's license? Why do you think you're an adult? And please tell me you're not trying to rear children. If you can't plan for yourself, I'm sorry. You just like, you haven't made that adult threshold in my eyes.
Yeah.
So I, now that probably will offend somebody. Tough.
I think because a lot of, and I think it's important that you said that, like that you went, like you get to make your own budget. You get just stick to it. Because for a long time, millennials were getting bashed on their avocado toast and their lattes and whatnot. And even like Gen Z, it was like, oh, they spend money on all these things. But they also do a lot of innovative things that the older generations do not do. So anyways.
I'm going to do it this way. Baby boomers spent way too much money on automobiles. Way too much money on automobiles as a category. Gen Zs have figured out cars are optional. In a lot of places, cars are completely optional. And so they're not falling into that same trap baby boomers got hooked in. And that's great for them. But the point, I want to circle back on this one, because folks, here, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm trying to share with you a plan.
Yeah.
Where you can achieve escape velocity faster, which is live beneath your means. Push the money aside into your Roth 401k with your employer, because you're going to get a match. That's always a good thing. Push the money into a Roth IRA. Once you get $5,000 to $10,000 in that Roth IRA, begin educating yourself as to what it is that you like and understand in the alternative space, real estate, notes, loans, all sorts of different creative things that are out there. And then when you find something that you like and you understand and you're comfortable doing, pull the trigger, go do it. You'll make more money. You'll make more money. Somebody should, if you've got access to a financial calculator, folks.
Which is just different from a regular calculator for folks who
very don't different. That. Yep.
Yeah, very so different.
Now, I'll try and do this calculation live. I'm just going to do it this way. Let's just say that we take over the next 10 years, which is 120 months. We put money to work at 8%. We start with nothing, but we have $500 a month going into it at 8% consistently. $500 a month starting with nothing after 10 years is $91,473. I'll see if I can get this up where people can see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if we just change that interest rate to 12%.
Why 12%, Jeff?
It's just the number I grabbed. I'm now up to 115. So let's just change it now to 18%. Let's just change it to 18%, which is still less than what credit cards are charging you. Now, over that same period of time, we're at 165. So if I can use my self-directed IRA to invest in something that I like and understand and get an 18% rate of return instead of the 8% conservative rate of return I'm going to get on most of my mutual funds, how much further ahead am I? Now I'm going to really nerd out. Okay. So we only did that for 10 years. Let's just go for 20 years instead. Folks, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. You go 20 years at an 18% rate of return on $500 a month, every month for 20 years, we're at $1.15 million.
So here's my question, because I know people listening might think, but 18%, Jeff, how realistic is that?
Depends. It depends. There are deals that I've done where I didn't make 18%, and there are deals I've done where 18% was only half of what I made. It depends upon how much you learn, how well you build a network of other like-minded individuals, which that's another thing. We could probably spend a whole podcast talking about that.
Yeah. Yes.
And then learn, it's increase your skill set. Now, rates of return are really curious because, folks, have you ever looked at the price of a bottle of water? You could go into Costco, Sam's, BJ's, Walmart, Target, and you can buy a big package of water and it's 24 cents or 20 cents a bottle. But then you can get into certain environments like inside of an airport where that same bottle of water is now selling for $3.
Yep.
Now, did somebody have a really nice markup on that? Yeah. Did some local government authority get a really nice hefty sales tax off of that? Oh, you better believe it. Did they also collect really nicely off the rent? You better believe it. But there's different ways of making a rate of return that you're not going to find it on the MLS. You're not going to find it on Wall Street. You're going to manufacture it out of finding good opportunities that you see that no one else does. And my favorite thing is, and I've filled an IRA account with this, is I will take $5,000, $10,000 of my money and I will wrap it around somebody else's $90,000 to $100,000. We'll lend it out. And my rate of return is well north of 18%. Yeah. And the borrower's paying anywhere between 9 and 12% on their money. But because of how I structure the deal, I make over 18.
Yeah. So I think like key takeaway there is really, again, that education aspect. Like, you can take the steps, you can open up your Roth IRA, but then if you don't educate yourself, yeah, adding that $500 a month, don't get me wrong, is better than doing nothing. But to maximize and increase your potential, you need to educate yourself outside of what, I don't know if it's like mainstream or what is taught, even though it's not taught, outside of your 401k, like outside of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, outside of your Fidelity.
So let me give one more thing. And Tony, this is really, I want your feedback on this. All human beings have what I call a greed gland. And we can see FOMO kick in, the fear of missing out. And it causes us to not pay attention to things we should be paying attention to. And hence now we've got some guy that's been on Shark Tank for how many years talking about how he, because of FOMO and not doing his due diligence, he lost how many millions with FTX. You cannot invest based upon your greed gland, okay? And you've got to avoid FOMO. You've got to do your due diligence. And that's one thing that I think Gen Z is going to be really good at, is the due diligence, because you guys were born skeptical.
Yeah, I agree with being born skeptical. But I also think that my generation was really into the crypto stuff probably up until now. And I think there needs to be more education on the other things, because I think the FOMO was real. Like, I remember talking to my more financial savvy friends, I guess I would say, and they're talking about all their different investments, but a lot of them were like extra risky in my opinion. And so I think now, after all of that crypto stuff went down, I think now the due diligence will set in and kick in fully, because they're going to have to educate themselves on how to be a little bit more conservative in terms of their investments. Because since we're not taught, I think especially in my generation, you only think your only investments can be in the stock market and things like that. So I think now people are going to have to kind of shift gears with how the market is going and just teach themselves all the other investments they can get into. And off of that, planning for the future, being my age, you talked a lot about different tips, but is there any like big piece of advice that you would give us for financially planning?
Oh yeah. I'd give you, this is the most important thing. And this is, I'm grateful to a friend of mine. I consider him to be the godfather of self-directed IRA investing. His name's Lyle. He's out of Colorado. I don't want to embarrass him by giving away all the details, but Lyle has forgotten more about this stuff than I'll ever know. He taught me very many years ago. He said, Jeff, know your burn rate. Lauren mentioned the same term a little earlier. So Tony, what I would say is, what do you need a month to live on? Know what that number is and then begin building systems and investments and processes that give you that money on autopilot, whether you get out of bed or not that particular day. Now, I'm to the point where I got to get out of bed at least a couple of days a month to get my autopilot money to show up, okay? But other than that, it's pretty good. But once you get to that point, so you've got to know what your goal is. Because if you don't know what your goal is, you don't know what you're chasing. And as you can then start measuring your progress towards getting there, and you're going to get your progress is going to come in two ways. As you increase that autopilot income, and as you get rid of expenses, such as if you get rid of your student loans by paying it off a little early, if you get rid of an expensive rental property and get a little more savvy about how you rent and house hack or whatever, that's another little trick you can do to just keep lowering your expenses at the same time, because every expense escaped is the same thing as increasing your income. Once you see that goal coming there by those two things happening, the expenses are going down and your autopilot income is going up, it just gives you more energy, more wind beneath your wings and sails, and it drives you for it.
What did you call it? What was your word for it? Escaping?
Escape velocity.
Escape velocity. Okay.
Escape velocity. Yeah. I mean, when I was young and in law school, business owners would call it new money. Like they could just walk away. And I'm like, $2 million is no longer qualifies for that. You know what I mean? But the cash flow that you could get off of $2 million may qualify for that, because you can go put $2 million in a certificate of depression and not have enough to buy dog food. But if you go put $2 million into the right deals, pick up the right notes, maybe buy the right rental properties, do a combination of those things, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. I have a question for you, because I see this a lot and I hear this a lot speaking with investors who are, maybe this is their first alternative investment in like our fund, for example. Expectations, like setting expectations, because this is partly to blame is the last few years of anyone could, as you, I think you said, I'm not going to repeat this term, but I think anyone could throw money into the real estate market in the last 10 years and make money. So
I called it buy and breathe. You heard me call it buy and breathe.
Yes, I did. So I think it's a product of that and social media that have made people think they can become an overnight investment like millionaire, and I hear it a lot when I'm speaking with investors who this might be their first investment. Oh, that's it. That's all I'm going to make. But 8% to start is good, but it's all about how much you're putting in. So like, what advice do you have around expectation setting for people? Because I think it is something, it's a big miss.
So it is. And what I would say is someone who has that unjustified expectation is either one of two things. They have not done enough overall research, or they think way too highly of themselves than they ought to think. And let me explain. Mortgage rates today are finally really close to what they have been on average for the last 50 years. But I hear so many people talking about how high rates are today, and I'm like,
it's like a giveaway to how old they are.
Well, or how new or how inexperienced they are. Exactly. I'm like looking at them going, you weren't around during the Resolution Trust Corporation era. You don't know who Jimmy Carter was and is. You never heard of Paul Volcker, did you? And I'm like,
so
you don't know enough. Yeah.
So do you let that stop you? Because as you mentioned, time. No. So like for people who are looking to get started and are hesitant about rates or like whatever the state of the economy, like when is the right time to start?
So there's two right, perfect times to do a good deal. 10 years ago and today. Okay. It's that simple. 10 years ago or today. I don't know about anybody else, but I haven't found a time machine yet. No DeLorean has shown up in my parking lot with those features. Okay. So I got to go with today. All right. And so the best time to do a good deal is today. Now you got to make sure it's a good deal. What some people don't understand is 8% compounded without having to do any work. Let me go back and say that again. Without having to do any work.
True.
That's a good deal.
Yep.
That's a good deal. That's a really good deal. Because I don't know if you knew it or not, some of you folks who are listening to us, about 14 months ago, there were hard money lenders on the West Coast charging only 8% on their money. And they were doing a lot of work to make that 8%. So 8% with not having to do anything except check a quarterly statement, that's a pretty good thing. Don't complain. Be patient. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this. If you're going to get into a fund, if you're going to invest in a syndication, don't you dare put any money into it that you need for the next 5 years.
Just don't put all your eggs in one basket in general,
Absolutely. Lauren, so true. So true. And I've got this large deal on my desk and it has had some performance issues and I represent the secured lien holders. Okay. It's had some performance issues. And out of all the secured lien holders that I'm advising and representing, the people with the smallest amount of money in it are the ones chirping the loudest. Don't be that person.
I can attest to that.
I really can.
We have our Reg A offering. Our minimum investment is 500. But for people who invest a 500, 2000, 5000, we hear from them more than we hear. And rightly, that's a bigger part of it's a bigger investment for them.
Yeah. And my response back is that maybe they're not grown up enough yet as an investor. They haven't done enough of their own grinding it out. Because the thing I think that teaches the most maturity as an investor is watching an IRA go from zero, your opening account balance or your initial $500 contribution, and every month it moves up and moves up and moves up and moves up. Seeing that slow growth until you can finally turn it into double digits. And then when you get three digits in front of the comma, that's when it gets to be exciting. Because when you get to $100,000 or more in a self-directed IRA, you've hit what I call critical mass. But it takes a while to get there. You got to grind it out. And some people just don't have that grind because, face it, they've been indoctrinated by a bunch of videos from a bunch of marketing phenoms that don't have two or three market cycles under their belt. And they think it's just because they've decided to look at it, that's why it's gone up in value. And it doesn't happen that way.
So we've covered so much this podcast. I feel like there were so, usually I'm like, oh, here's the one key takeaway. I have four key takeaways I've come up with. And you guys can tell me if you agree with them. But for people who are looking to hit that escape velocity point, I have four steps. So set realistic expectations and goals, then write out, map out, budget out a visual of how you will hit that and check in. Then you educate yourself on just on all alternative investments. So educating yourself outside of stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And then the fourth would be start today and stay committed.
Yep. One included in one of, I think the second item that you shared there is the component of tracking your progress. I think you had it in there, but it wasn't overtly stated, but that's really important is to track your progress on a monthly or quarterly basis as to how well are you moving. I've got a client, very successful business owner, very successful business coach. He teaches check your balance sheet once a month, update your balance sheet monthly to see how you're moving. And that's pretty good advice.
Yeah. I think also like being patient was a good point that you had, Jeff, because it is true. Our generation is, there's so many videos out there about the get rich quick schemes. So I think your way of saying it was grinding it out. So I think that's a very good key takeaway for people my age, just getting started and not understanding that it takes time and holding money into something is a good thing, not
right.
Yeah.
And I'll put it like this. I think you're going to need to look at 100 business investment opportunities. Look at 100 opportunities, sort them down to probably about 20 that make sense. Out of the 20, you'll probably only invest in five. Out of the five, one is going to be subpar, one is going to be above average, and three are going to be about what you predicted. And there you've diversified, you've managed your expectations. You've done your due diligence research because you've kicked 100 tires, test drove 20 cars and only bought five of them. And that's the way you grind it out and succeed. Because if you're just going to go jump on the first shiny object that comes by, you're no better than the fish in the pond. You just got hooked and hauled in.
Any final thoughts, Tony, Jeff? I feel like that was a good final thought, but
yeah, I thought that was a great final thought.
I'm going to say one last thing, folks. I may have come across a little edgy. I'm actually kind of fuzzy and warm and likable, but I am serious about you are responsible for yourself. You're on your own and take care of yourself. Do yourself a favor. Work for yourself, not for somebody else. You're going to work every day for yourself, not for bill collectors. You're going to work every day for your future. The stuff you need to do today needs to be building for your future. I'm already thinking about the stuff I'm doing for my granddaughters. Yeah. So leave it at that.
Awesome. Jeff, as always, pleasure to see, talk, hear from you. We are so happy you joined us on the podcast. We hope to see you at another expo or something in the future. And Tony, thank you again for joining us on your second episode in only 4 months. You're like a hit. So thank you guys both. Thank you all to all our listeners for joining us today on this episode of the CWS podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace. My pleasure.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.